Heather. Inside. I've got a little more. So.
That's just a second.
Yeah.
You get the mind, you get the purpose. Good morning. Sorry to be late starting this morning. I'm not that late after all. Thank you. I just thought I was running late. This one's a little fast up here. I'd like to welcome you to Jenkins this morning. I'm sure that they're getting ready to pass out the red books to sign in. If you would, please make notice.
They have been passed out, I believe.
Please make notice that you're at the 10:15 service. We'd like to welcome any visitors that we have today. Left side, do we have any visitors today?
Michael has
Michael.
Guests.
Tom and Connie Stratton, glad to have you. Well, we are glad to have you. Glad to have you. Is there any in the middle today? And what about the right side? Okay, announcements are in your bulletin. Are there any announcements we feel like we need to make this morning other than the ones that are in the bulletin? Or yes, Elizabeth. CPW on the Tuesday the 5th. What time? 7 o'clock. Planning meeting.
Next Sunday, say that real slow. Camilla's parents are here, so she may want to introduce them. They haven't been to a morning service yet now. They've been on Wednesday before. Okay. But Mom's not in yet when she gets in. Well, this is... Go ahead.
Very glad to have you. Do we have any prayer, praise requests today? Yes, Sharon. Charles Long. Yes. Kate Patterson, thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Pam.
We're there with you and your boy on your journey.
before anyone else starts, we're going to do something at the end of this service. And I appreciate if we could wait to say something to Susan and Jamie. And we're going to do it at the end of the service. Keep this floodgate of tears from coming right now and everybody crying during the service. Larry will think his sermon is no good. This morning, if you would, we're going to take a moment to pause, a moment of silent prayer. I'm sorry, did I skip somebody? Okay, if you would take this time to bow your heads, preparing your hearts to receive the word of the Lord. Please turn in your hymnals, number 589. And stand with us.
Come into His presence singing, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Singing, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. Praise the Lord together, singing, worthy the Lamb, worthy the Lamb, worthy the Lamb. Praise the Lord together, singing, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God.
Thank you. If you would join with me this morning in your bulletin. Are gathering words from Psalm 105. O give thanks to the Lord, call on God's name.
Make known God's deeds among the people.
Sing to the Lord, sing praises to our God.
Tell of God's wonderful works.
Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Remember God's strength, the miracles God has wrought.
O give thanks to the Lord, call on God's name.
Make known God's deeds among the people.
I'm sorry, now 108 in your hymn.
Okay, kids, we're not going to drag this today. I've already been told we have to keep it snappy. I mean, I've been asked to keep it snappy.
Hallelujah, amen. Now, Christians, are worthy. Hallelujah.
as we go to God in prayer, the call to worship called upon us to remember the great deeds that God has done among His people, the things that He is still doing, and the things that He will do need to be remembered also, the promises that He has made. Also, the song said, loud praise to Christ, our King. And the great, great, great deed was sending Jesus the Christ. And He gave Himself to die on the cross. Lord God, as we come together this morning and unite in song, we thank You for the presence of Your Spirit, that we can know that You are with us. Lord, we reflect upon the deeds that You have done, those that we read about from Your holy word, but those that You have done in our own lives, in our own time. Lord, we thank You especially for Jesus, and that You sent Him to be our Savior, to pay the penalty for our sin. And Lord, we thank You that death could not hold Him, that You raised Him up after a period of time in the grave. And Lord, You allowed Him to walk upon this earth for a number of days. Then You received Him into that heavenly kingdom where He is preparing a place for us. And Lord, we thank You for the Spirit that He sent back to be with us, to guide us, to teach us, to draw us to You, to urge us on in our service for You. And Father, we just thank You that that presence, that Spirit is in our midst today. And we pray that we can worship in truth and in spirit. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, now praying the prayer that He taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
If you would now join with me in the Apostles' Creed in unison. It's on the screen, and it's number 716 in your hymn. I believe in God
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in
Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This morning is from Luke 15, 17, 18. It is in your bulletin. When he came to his senses, he said, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you.
our prayer confession this morning from Psalm 139 and Romans 8 in unison. If you would say it with me, please. We are sometimes doubtful, O God, that you are in our midst. This weary old world groans in pain. And we humans are too often enslaved by fear and suffering. It's so easy to lose hope. Search us, O God, and know our hearts and thoughts. If there is any wrong in us, lead us in the way everlasting. And teach us your hope that shines even in seemingly hopeless situations. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness from Romans 8:29 through 30. Who will separate us from the love of God? Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. If you would please turn to 345 in the hymnal.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washing His blood. This is my story, this is my song. This is my Savior. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Peace is my virtue, the birth of my life. Angels descending, wind from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love.
Thanks to God this morning, our offertory sentence from Matthew 6:25. Did I mess up? Sorry. We have some music.
This song was learned by a kid at the VBS a month ago, so some of them were practicing last time. That will help with the sign language. Just give them a second. I'm asking them to come up front so everybody can see them. Why don't you take Bethany and and Allison with you on that side, so people who are sitting on that side of the sanctuary can see as well. Thank you.
Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die, raise your hands, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live.
Like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. Remember when you walk, sometimes we fall. Fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely, deep and filled with pain. Remember when the sky is dark and pours the rain, and cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus and live.
When the laugh is over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus and goodbye. Then go in peace and love and glory side, and fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and leave.
Fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus.
Thank you, that was beautiful. Now, expressing our thanks to God, our offertory sentence this morning from Matthew 6:25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Would our ushers come forward, please?
Let's pray. Father God, we are in awe of your majesty and your power, your grace, as you are the giver of all. We just can't comprehend, and we take for granted all the things that you've given us, Father, and we can't give back to you that portion that you have given to us, 10%, 20%, 50%, no amount will give back to you how you've blessed us, how you've given us grace and peace. Father, we just pray that you'll take these tithes and these offerings and use it to uplift your kingdom, to bring others into your fold. In Jesus' name, amen.
For my soul. God's righteous crown. Christ laid aside his crown for my soul. To God and to the Lamb, I will see. To God and to the Lamb, I will see. To God and to the Lamb, who lives the great I am.
Children's time this morning. Jennifer Thompson, please.
We're still waiting on that perfect bulletin, and it didn't happen this week. Mary Jo is doing children's time. Jennifer Thompson's going to do children's church. And somehow, maybe next week we'll have a perfect one, but probably not. And we only find these mistakes after we get to the pulpit.
Yeah. everything you need to know. So I challenge you to raise your own standards for your life. Mr. Bennett, do you have a song?
Thank you. And Michael has, another Michael, not the one that couldn't drive a car, has agreed to read for us today.
He doesn't drive a car and he has that name.
No. I'd like to say good morning. I am Michael. Michael Bryan, for those of you who don't know me. And again, I'd like to say to all of you who are visiting today, welcome. May God richly bless you. May you know that you're in the house of the Lord, and may you listen to God's Word, both being read and being preached to you today. And please, you can only be a stranger once. You come again, you're part of us. We love you, and we love having you. I brought my Bible up here for reference. But I'm going to read from the scripture from the bulletin. It's a little easier to see. You ever wonder what God's kingdom is like? Sure you have. I bet you have. You may have gone to sleep wondering what God's kingdom is like. Well, the scripture today is taken from Matthew 13, 31 through 33, and also from Matthew 44, 13, 44 through 52. And I think it's just a little bit of a teaser. I don't think He's going to give us all of what heaven's going to be like in there. He just wants to give us a little hors d'oeuvre of what things are to be. It's unimaginable. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like that, is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace.
where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Mike. And Jim. And Mary Jo. And Jennifer. She is gone.
Any of you ladies, or maybe I should ask this, any of you men have a pearl home this morning or in your pocket? You have a pearl? Forgot your pearl. Not, probably not normal for a man to have a pearl around his neck, but you might have a diamond on your finger. Men have a diamond. Got a diamond right there. How many's ever plowed or been in the field when people were plowing with a horse or a mule? A few. But on this row, my children have probably only seen plowing when we drive down the road in eastern Arkansas going to visit grandparents, and we see a tractor over there. Is that about right, girls? You'd point to the tractor. Look at the tractor plowing, huh? They can't see much but some dust. So the story, the parable about a man plowing in a field may not be too relevant to these younger people, right? But did y'all get any plowing when you were in Arkansas this time? But we still plow in West Tennessee, and we have a garden. Who has a garden that they plow or that they shovel up? Saw people, Don's got a big garden. Okay. Just one garden here? Harold's got a garden, yeah. A small one, but it produces. Nikki's family has a garden. But we won't get to talk about garden this morning or plowing in a garden. We could say a garden instead of a field, make it more relevant. We probably won't get to talk about the pearl. But look at that, the best piece of jewelry that you've got, and relate that to the parable. Hope to do this next week, but I experienced at the 8 o'clock hour that took up all the time in the mustard seed and the leaven. Who has ever watched? No, that's a man's way to look at it. How many of you women use yeast and make that fluffy light bread? Okay. Thank you. So you can relate to that. How many of you have planted mustard seed? Now, and they're called, I don't know if it's the same thing or not, but I think it's what they make medicine out of, the mustard plant. Some of it is referred to that. Also, there was the plant mentioned here grows bigger, larger than the mustard plants that we planted, but it was a green that you ate, cooked it with turnip greens. And some people say they don't eat turnip greens. Does anybody here eat turnip greens? I do, and mustard greens. You hear the story about the man feeding his dog turnip greens? Man had a dog, and a friend walked up and said, what do you feed that dog? He said, I feed him turnip greens. So the other guy said, my dog won't eat turnip greens. And the man that had fed his dog turnip greens said, mine wouldn't either for the first 3 weeks. But I guess if you get hungry enough, you'll eat most anything. Okay. But I like the turnip greens. I even grew up eating, told somebody the other day, I ate poke salad and it made them sick. They hadn't tried it, had they? Or they acted kind of sick. Ew. But it's pretty good if some people fix it. Let's talk about the kingdom of God. And Jesus used all of these in a fish net. A fish net, a treasure, pot of gold or something hidden in a field, and a pearl, and a mustard seed, and some leaven. That's five of the things lumped together here, counted together, at least together in Matthew 13, about what the kingdom of God is like, or the kingdom of heaven. We pray, and we did it this morning, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We prayed that, did we not? Or did we just recite so many words? I hope each time we use the Lord's Prayer in a worship service, or each time we, and I hesitate to use this word, say the Lord's Prayer, that we really are praying the Lord's Prayer. Somewhere along the way, I was encouraged, taught, and this may go back to early Sunday school days, don't just say the Lord's Prayer. Let this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, let it become our personal prayer. So I've tried to do that. I'm sure there are times that I just go through the words. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. I'm sure there have been many times, if I didn't say it that fast, I thought it that fast and went on about my business. Well, I prayed today. But my point is, I want us to think about praying the Lord's Prayer, even the printed prayers in the bulletin. Now, we usually print a prayer for the prayer of confession. I would even encourage you to come in and read over that before the service or before we get there. If you're not, some people don't sing, and if you're not singing a song, you might sneak a real quick look at the prayer, see if there's anything in that prayer that you can't say. I've told many of you, but some of you haven't heard it, so some of you get to hear it again. My professor, that I guess you would call him my mentor, he kept dragging me along to make sure that I got through seminary, and he made sure that I had a church. I think he was making sure that those churches that nobody else would go to would at least have somebody in the pulpit, however you want to look at it. But he made sure that I had a church. And why he took me under his wing, maybe I was a willing person. I don't know, but he did, and I appreciate it. But he would not say in the Apostles' Creed that Jesus had descended into Hades or descended into hell. He could not accept that. He could not say it. So he would say, and Alfred was Dr. Thomas H. Campbell, the church he attended when he wasn't off preaching somewhere, he attended a church, and they used the Apostles' Creed each Sunday, and they kept that phrase in. Some churches leave it out, that Jesus descended to hell, and believing that, Jesus paid for the penalty of our sin, and it's expressed in the Bible when Peter talks about him going to the netherworld to preach to so-and-so, and then also when he expressed on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So some of us interpret, if you're forsaken of God, that's a hell itself. And but Dr. Campbell could not say it. He would not say it. So when they got to that point in the Apostles' Creed, he'd just shut up. And they'd get past that, he'd pick up and go with them again. Now some of you have heard that story maybe three times. But I encourage that, even reading over the prayers of confession that are printed. Usually, they're borrowed. Most all the time, they're borrowed. Sometimes we tell you where they came from. Some are ancient and some are modern. But they're not original with me. I don't remember even writing a prayer of confession because there are so many at our fingertips that express what we possibly need to express. So I will borrow one and insert it in the bulletin. But there might be a phrase in there that you wouldn't want to pray. But don't let it be just words that we say. It is intended to help us, or to at least guide us in our actual praying. Now, how do we get off on that? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Are those just so many words that we're reciting? Are we really serious? God, send your kingdom. Because the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught it, taught us to pray it to God the Father, our Father who art in heaven, our Holy Father, a Father that we come before with much respect, with much humbleness, looking at Him as awe-inspiring, one who has inspired great awe. We're humbled. We bow down before Him. And we come before Him and we pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. So Jesus teaches us to pray it. And at this church, we usually include it in the Sunday morning service each Sunday. Now, the question, do we really pray that prayer? Or are we just quoting so many words? Are we just reciting so many words? Words that we have remembered, we've been taught, we have memorized, and do we expect God's kingdom to come on earth? Or we say, no, it can't happen. But we pray that prayer anyway. Do we, as we pray that, do we really expect God's kingdom to come on earth? Just some questions to pose. Do we, another thought, do we give serious thought to what God's kingdom is like? Well, I think it would be wise for us to, if we're going to that kingdom, and sometimes I have said, and I don't see it being bad, maybe because I said it, but I don't see it being bad, but I said, well, I'm going to leave all that up to God. But whatever He provides for me will be okay. But Jesus went to the trouble to teach about the kingdom so that we would know something about that kingdom, at least that kingdom in heaven. You may have noticed that Matthew uses the word kingdom of heaven. I've been talking about the kingdom of God. Matthew was a... all the apostles were faithful Jews that kind of broke away with Jesus. They didn't intend to, but they didn't have a place in the Jewish community after they followed Jesus. But Matthew was writing to the Jewish community. He wanted his people to understand that Jesus really was the promised Messiah. I'll even ask the question this week, why don't the Jewish people accept Jesus? Well, he didn't fulfill their thinking or their comprehension about what was promised about a Messiah. So they rejected him, still do today, Jesus as being the Savior or the Messiah. And in Jesus' day, they certainly rejected him. But Matthew's goal, one of his goals for writing the book of Matthew, as we know it, the Gospel of Matthew, was to teach these people, his people, the Jewish people, Jesus really is the Messiah. Maybe one or two would believe and tell another one and tell another, and they'd all be saved through faith in Jesus also. Well, Jewish people respected God's name in a much greater way than we respect God's name. They respected God's name so much that they wouldn't even speak it. They were afraid that they would be taking God's name in vain or speaking it lightly. So they came up with another name for God. And one of them was Elohim or El. If you read some footnotes in your Bible, you might see something. This is from the Elohim or the El tradition. Sometimes you'll run across that. So, when Matthew was writing to his own people, knowing how much they respected God's name, he referred to God's kingdom as the kingdom of heaven. But if you read Luke's gospel, he refers, same parables, he uses the kingdom of God. And Mark, read his gospel, same parables, kingdom of God. So, I really believe that we can use these interchangeably. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. So I've been talking about the kingdom of God. Matthew referred to the kingdom of heaven. And there may be a lesson in the Jewish people's great respect for the name of God. Maybe we have become, quote, too familiar with God and do not see Him in all of His majesty and power and honor as we should. And some people have gone further than this and used God's name only as a curse word, see. And they have really digressed. And there was one time in my life when I thought that was a little smart-alecky too. And I've confessed that and been forgiven. But do we really give serious thought to what the kingdom of heaven or God's kingdom is like? Most of the time, I'm afraid that we kind of limit ourselves to our own little world. We say that we've got enough to take care of in this world. We've got automobiles to take care of. We've got to pay for gas, gasoline. We've got to take care of that part of our family. We've got to get our kids educated. We've got to feed our kids and keep a roof over our head. We think about our investments. We think about about the economy. We think about the rain or the lack thereof. We think about weather, cold or hot. And we think about all of these things, and we get so bombarded with them. How often or how serious do we get, or are we, in our thinking about God's kingdom? And I want to guess that we're not really that serious about it, right? It's been so long in coming. We keep, like some of the people that Peter wrote to, said, well, it's not going to happen. Jesus just promised this, but He's not coming back. It's been 2,000 years. Even in Peter's day and in Paul's day, they kept saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. When is He going to come? He said He'd come. He hadn't come back yet. And we've waited these 2,000 years. But Peter says, God don't count time like we do. Doesn't count time. God doesn't count time like we do. And He'll come in His own good time. So we can expect that. I expect it. But then, you know, we get so wrapped up in even the work of the church, here and now, sometimes we forget about that hereafter. I'm guessing that we consider the kingdom of God as being for the life after this life. But Jesus gave a number of parables to teach us about the kingdom of God, and taught us and teaches us, if we read it today, to pray for the kingdom, God's kingdom, to come on earth as it is in heaven. There were five parables that you heard read concerning that, some of them just about a sentence long. But how would you describe the kingdom of God to someone? If someone came to you and said, describe to us the kingdom of God. How would you describe God's kingdom to someone? Now, Jesus gave us the great commission. And He said, go out and gather people into the kingdom. Go out and teach and preach, etc., etc., etc. But that's good evangelism. But we're not doing too much evangelism, are we? We kind of said, well, if they come and ask me, I might tell them. Then every once in a while, somebody will come and say, tell me about the kingdom of God. So are you ready if that happens? If you're ready for that to happen, why don't you go out? You just tap somebody on the shoulder and say, would you like to practice on you telling you about the kingdom of God so I can be ready for that next guy down the street? And that guy that you're talking to may not know about the kingdom, may not know there is a kingdom. Might become evangelist that way. But anyhow, how would you describe the kingdom of God? William Barclay is one of my favorite theologians. I have used Barclay as a resource probably more than any other theologian that I have read after and in my preaching ministry. And I still read others, find others, but can't find anybody that explains the scriptures any better. So William Barclay suggests that, and I will paraphrase his, God's kingdom is come, or God's kingdom has come, when and where God's will is done. And he says, even the Lord's Prayer teaches us this. Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And he says, thy will be done is telling us when God's kingdom has come, when God's people are doing God's will. We are doing God's will, at least God's kingdom has come in that individual's life who is involved in doing God's will. And if we can get enough people doing God's will in their individual lives, theory is so good, the practice of it, we've got people we're dealing with, so it's hard to get the whole world to do anything. But if we get just a large segment of them doing God's will as best they know it and studying to learn more, God's kingdom has come, at least to those individuals. Now, that is not to discount in any way that kingdom in heaven that Jesus has gone to prepare for us. And I'm really looking forward to that. But can we not even attempt to do God's will here on earth, that His kingdom might be revealed in our life? But Jesus used parables to tell us about His kingdom, or God's kingdom, or the kingdom of heaven. If you're reading Matthew, it's the kingdom of heaven. Mark and Luke, it's the kingdom of God. Different ways to understand the kingdom. And some people can understand this, and some would understand it. So there are six or seven in this one chapter here. So he gives us what the kingdom of God is like. And we'll only deal with two if we get through the second one. Mustard seed. We talked about eating turnip greens, and my mother would plant them together, and then she'd mix them together, and we'd have turnip greens / mustard greens, and they were so good. Small seed, but a small seed that grows and grows and grows and takes in a multitude. Takes in the birds of the air. There's a picture of a Savetta found a mustard plant, I guess, and a man standing by it. It's not a redwood that you can drive a car through the trunk when they haul out the trunk, but it's still a pretty good sized tree. That man is 5.5 to 6 feet or a little more. It's a pretty good tree. And birds can come and rest there. That's what the scripture said. Now, another theologian that I read behind is Matthew Henry. And back to 1700 person, 17, early 1800s, he says that the church, if God has a kingdom on earth, with all its faults, the church is where God's people gather. Okay. Anybody want to argue with that? We'll talk about it till midnight if you want to, or on, okay. But the church is somewhat like a tree. Somewhat like a tree. Starts with a small seed. And really it started, the Christian church started with Jesus. And then he got 12. And then he got 120. And then they grew and grew and grew and grew. And in John 6, you find some that left. Jesus started really teaching some hard teaching. They thought it was hard. And they left. And we see that in the church today. People come, people go. Don't know what to do about it. It happened in Jesus' day, in his little group, though. But it starts with small, and it grows and grows. And sometimes it grows fast and rapidly, and then sometimes there's dead spots. Sometimes you can't drag a visitor off the street. You can't get anybody to listen to your witness. Programs that you develop, people won't come to them. And we think, well, are we doing it right? But if we pray and wait, sometimes we need just to wait. Wait on the Lord. When He gets ready, the church grows and grows. I've told over and over the year, I had bypass surgery. This church grew in new members more than it ever had before then in my ministry. And then the year that Carol had her problem, it grew more than it did the year I had my problem. Now, please don't y'all pray for me to be sick again and Carol to be sick again. But the church grew those years like it never had in the before and never has since. And we've had some lean years here. But already, as far as church membership, we're already having a great year. Six people last Sunday and five back in the spring, so we're moving right along. That's not busting the walls out, but it's a good, pretty good. Could be worse. So anyhow, we're just so happy that all of y'all are part of us. The doors are open, folks. You who believe in Jesus, the doors are open for us. But it starts small and grows, and it can hold multitudes. And you've seen birds flock to a tree. And what do they find there? They find food. They find seeds. If you've got a, shouldn't talk about this, maybe a hackberry tree and park your car under it, especially if your car is white. Wow, you know what kind of food that tree provides for those birds. And then they find rest. Rest. Jesus says, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the church is, for some people need a place of rest. And some people need a shade. You know, just the burning sun or the troubles of life just burn away at us. And we come to God's fellowship and we find rest. And we find shelter. Most importantly, we find salvation through the church. And I've said over and over, and I'll say it again, if people are going to hear the gospel for salvation, it's more than likely to be through the church than it is anywhere else. Let me quickly talk about leaven. That's that yeast that the cook puts in the dough or in the flour, and it rises and it gets fluffy. And that's the best bread. Growing up, I had to go somewhere else to get that kind of bread. We had cornbread that was kind of flat and biscuits that were kind of flat. But we'd go to the neighbor's house or grandma's house and we could get some of that puffed up bread. Or buy light bread. So I learned to like light bread. People talk about, don't like that old light bread. Man, after a meal, I'll still go get me a light bread sandwich, sometimes just light bread, and eat it. But again, Matthew Henry mentions how this leaven works so quietly and so softly, and sometimes it looks like it's slow, but then it starts bubbling and you can see it rise. Maybe you can see it after it's risen, when the bowl starts getting too full. And Matthew Henry relates this to the preaching of the word. The preaching of the word by the 12, and then by Paul too. And Paul, we'll use him for an example. He would go out and preach to a community. And they may even run him out of town. But some people would believe his message and trust Jesus as their Savior, as the Spirit worked in them. And they would run Paul out of town, but these people would share that message. And it would rise, and it would grow. And that dough would rise in the kitchen. Well, that church grew. And Paul would go to another town and put a little leaven of Jesus Christ in that town. And they would believe. And they'd run him out of that town. Somebody would. But that would start the increase of the church. And the leaven, or flour, the leaven had a strange effect on it. And the gospel has, in some people's mind, a strange effect on society. It was even said in the book of Acts, early on, as the gospel was being preached, that these Christians have turned the world upside down. Those that used that phrase didn't realize that they were really turning the world right side up. But the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed being planted, and it grows, and it grows. Like some leaven being put in some bread, and it reaches out throughout the whole bowl. The Word of God reaches out through the church, through the community, and hopefully
through the world. One of my favorite songs is, we'll get to these another time, is The Family of God. You call it the Kingdom of Heaven, the Kingdom of God, and the Gaithers wrote a song about it being the Family of God. Are you in the Kingdom? Admission is free because Jesus paid the fee. We're going to sing The Family of God. This may be that time that you say, I want to be a part of God's kingdom, or the kingdom of heaven. I want to go to heaven. I want to get ready right now. And you can do that where you are, or you may want to come forward and express it publicly. But let's sing the chorus, the verse, and the chorus again of The Family of God.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'm one of them. And God is one. Join me.
As you guys all know, this is Susan's last official Sunday as youth director of this church. It's, of course, not her last Sunday with us because she'll be coming back more than she thinks, I would imagine. But we just wanted her and Jamie and the boys to come up here, please, and let us thank. Jamie, you too. You know, Larry and Carol, y'all come up too. Where are you at? Where's Carol? Okay. Okay, Elizabeth is coming. She's got the boys. She's about to drop them, but she's got them. Okay, as long as I've been coming to church here, of course, Brother Larry was the pastor when I started coming to church here. So he and Carol have always been a part of my life here. Then, the girls were older then, and I don't even remember hardly Susan and Elizabeth until Elizabeth was in youth some when I was helping when Todd was here. Elizabeth was in youth some then. I got to know Elizabeth. But I really didn't get to know Susan until she moved back to Franklin and decided that she needed to be more involved in the youth ministry here. We've always had a great youth ministry here. We've had volunteers, parents. We had a paid position at one time with Todd.